Yeah, simple to view. But this should be fun. When you shared your article, I read it and was like, oh my God, same page. It's like, thank you. Like this is reasonable and this makes sense. And it's not talking about us turning into Venezuela, but also not being like, this is fine, this is okay. So
The funny thing is that for like 2.5 years, I was a fellow at a think tank in DC, and I was like the Venezuela crisis specialist. So when everybody was like making like the, oh, we're gonna be Venezuela jokes, I was like, no, we're not gonna be Venezuela.
no,
Like,
no,
not
no,
even
no.
3 years. Like, we're not anywhere near Venezuela, thank God.
Yeah. The amount of discrepancy and wrongdoing it takes to get to that level is like ridiculous. Like that was like 53 million%. Like it was like insane.
Yeah, I remember tracking it, and at one point I was like, I don't know like what to say. It's worthless. Like it's completely worthless.
I think as well, I heard a sad but funny comparison I heard is that in the Weimar Republic during like the height of the inflation, they had wheelbarrows of doll of like cash. I was like, that's sad. That's sad. Yeah.
Yeah, but in Venezuela, we didn't even have food. So it was crazy because it was like there's nothing to buy, but everything was super inflated.
Right. I think that's what gives potential to the Lightning Network so that when Bitcoin can be used more readily, like that'll be life-changing for so many people there. At least that's what I'm excited about for that. Let me see. It's really laggy, but I don't believe that we have any chat or viewer. I don't know what's going on. I'm not sure if there's tends to be a huge lag, so I'm checking to see if okay, there's I see. We're good. We're good. Okay, people are saying hello. Yeah, we're great. We're great. We're good to go. So,
Why do they keep saying that I'm cuter on camera? What does that even mean?
you
You
are
have
cute on
comments
camera, but that is kind of like, is
like,
that a backhanded compliment? Is it a compliment? Like, you don't know how to take that.
that moment. Funny.
Exactly. Okay, yeah, there's a huge lag. So if I see in the chat your questions and I answer them like 30 seconds after you've asked them, I apologize for the delay, but I appreciate you all. And this is should be a very intelligent discussion. We have some of the brightest economic minds in the entire world here, complete cutting edge problem solvers to speak about this.
Incredible.
So you're working on your PhD right now, right?
Yes, almost done.
Yeah. Cool. What is your, I guess, your specialty or your favorite, your focus in econ?
So I've like jumped around a lot. I was doing development economics, which had a lot to do with like monetary policy and stuff. And then I switched to industrialization and experimental. So now I do like aviation, like a lot of like air transportation optimization.
That's like an interesting thing to think about in the midst of the pandemic, especially like how that economic sector has, were you focusing on that even as that area of the economy was hit and then now is like something that people are expecting to rebound?
Yeah, so it kind of sucks because I was working on a couple projects right when the pandemic hit, and then I couldn't get the data anymore because it was with all of like the shocks from COVID. So it's been really interesting because I think it can also be a really good indicator for how the economy is doing. Obviously, leisure. I think like last April, the leisure had like 60% unemployment, like just within the leisure sector. Starting to see rebound, and we're starting to see people start flying again. TSA throughputs are up, so it's like very relevant to what's going on. And also very relevant to like inflation expectations as prices adjust back to normal.
Do you think that, because I have been expecting that, like, once the dollars that have been printed re-enter circulation, that there'll be like a sudden hike and they'll just have to be? Do you agree that once leisure spending increases and people are like, I don't want to say going crazy, but more incentivized to spend, that there will be that like sudden hike that has been warned against, nothing crazy, but that short-term increase?
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible to see a short-term increase. I've been having a really hard time exactly like because I know in from the first stimulus checks, I think about 59% of people were had used it for rent and groceries. Back then, unemployment was at like 14%. And now that we're back at around 5%, not as many people are using the checks for rent and groceries and utilities. So I think it'll be really interesting to see whether or not people like what people think about the economy, what their perceptions are, if people are going to go spend or if they're going to save because they're worried that, you know, we'll have another resurgence. I don't think we will, though, because especially with vaccines being distributed now, I think that's why all of the projections were way up, especially growth projections being up like 2.3% from like, what was it, 4% to 6%. Like, that's crazy. So I think there definitely will be some movement this summer. Whether or not that goes into the long run is, I'm not so sure about.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think there just has to be because, like you said, there hasn't been as much for people to spend on unless they're a 16-year-old Robin Hood trader doing Tesla call options. So I feel like the I mean, or just like jumping into like altcoins and hoping that it goes to like over zero. But with over the past year, has there been any data or trends that have surprised you that you did not expect?
I think we've done better than I expected. And I think that the adjustment back to like whatever normal is has been quicker than I expected. So I definitely think we're going to see spending increase. I'm kind of surprised at how many people have turned to investing. And I think there's been sort of like a revolution amongst like younger people, like through TikTok and Twitter and social media, like encouraging people, you know, do the whole Robinhood sort of stuff. So I'm also surprised that the aviation industry is doing better. Because that's one area where I really didn't think we would rebound as quickly. At like the only shock that it's really comparative to is like after 9/11. And if you look at how long it took for everything to rebound after 9/11, it was a really long time. But a lot of people were scared. Yeah. The industry wasn't as big, but even when it adjusted, it was a lot slower. But I think people are really tired of being indoors and really ready to go spend and I don't know.
No, I was in similar agreement where I was surprised at how fast a lot of the airline stocks recovered. I was seeing, I think part of that might have had to do with people, I don't want to say outsmarting the market, but like there's such a wave of new investors who are aware of buying things low that like all over TikTok, a lot of the investment advice that I was seeing, especially summer into fall when people were thinking about like, how do I invest based on a recovery? I was seeing like 17-year-olds be like, you want to buy Norwegian Cruise Line, you want to buy Boeing. And I was like, you people are, wow. And that just impressed me for people thinking that far out. Do you think that there will be a difference in how people invest in travel and airlines in the future? Do you expect a clean rebound and then like back to normal levels? Or do you think that there will be like a permanent different, kind of like 9/11, but showing up in a different way as a result?
Yeah, I think there's definitely going to be changes to how the industry is structured right now. I think Americans filing for bankruptcy again, which surprised me. I think we're going to see Southwest and Delta really, really take over the market share. Yeah. I know I talked to Delta, they're expanding networks. And I think we're going to see like new leaders in aviation. And I think there's definitely going to be movement. I think we'll probably see some bankruptcies amongst low-cost carriers because once prices go back to normal, the marginal cost is no longer oh, we got a $20 ticket. It's like, well, they're both like one's, you know, 200, might as well get the nicer Spirit. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting.
Do you know, I was thinking about this a while. I forgot to look it up. Does Spirit Airlines, are they a public company?
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah. If I was, have you seen on, I don't know if you would have seen this, but on TikTok, Ryanair is like fucking hilarious. Like
they're so funny. Yeah. Yeah. Their marketing strategy is so good, but I will not follow them.
No, I agree. I mean, they're in Europe anyway, so it's like you can have fun doing that.
But when the pandemic started or something, they like flew a plane to the wrong country or something crazy. I remember seeing
it. Yeah, that's unfortunate. But I agree that it seems like the more like similar to small businesses versus large corporations, like the big, like the little guy is going to lose out in a lot of ways. Yeah. So I'm thinking like United, like just like major airlines will probably be there to stay. But in regards to what we were speaking about a bit before with like inflation and how Venezuela won't happen and whatnot. Do you Do you agree or do you see the Fed's 2% projection as, do you agree with their projection or do you think that that is misleading and overcompensating?
I think it's probably undershot by and I think I talked about my Substack, it's probably more like 3 to 5% in the near term, but over time I think it'll adjust back down to like the 2% target. I think they're really, really focused on getting employment back up to what it was pre-pandemic, which I think is really important. But right now, especially with keeping interest rates low, we run the risk of kind of what I talked about, like overheating in the sense of we could lead into another boom and bust cycle where we expand production way past our capabilities and end up having to correct with, unemployment stuff in the future.
I isn't 2% the normal rate per year, which makes it seem a little strange that they would anticipate the normal inflation rate for a time like this.
So inflation's targeted at 2% per year. But usually it's below 2%. So usually it's like 8 last year. So and I think Powell said 2.4 was his projection for what was it? What quarter was it? Was it 20? Was it next year? Was it the end of this year?
I heard both 2.1 and 2.4, I think was the range. I also was thinking 5% was like decent. So when they said 2, I was like, oh God, like I'm yeah, seemed a little strange to me on
Yeah, I
that.
think we'll definitely see it closer to 3, if not more.
Yeah,
And
agreed.
it could be that's probably going to be from like what we're kind of talking about, like this demand pull inflation, right? Because there's just money printing from this demand pull inflation. So I think it's likely that people will start like I have a feeling when people go out, they're going to go out hard, and we will see like Roaring 20s sort of like thing where people are super eager to spend. And then we realize that like maybe we went a little too hard.
Yeah, I see someone in the chat asking about your thoughts about MMT, if you have any that you'd like to share.
me trying not to like piss off anybody in my department.
I'm probably on your side, so speak candidly.
I think it's misguided. And I think that's probably as far as I'll go with that.
I do you know of any example of it working? I'm curious. That's been
No.
my that's just my question. I think the theory from me as someone who's still very open to learning and being proven wrong and whatnot, because I feel like we're very much in an unprecedented kind of time where there's a lot of experimentation. But I agree that I've yet to see it I've yet to see it pan out successfully. Do you have is there a way that you would have not saying that you are like I'm the like I have the answer, but if you were the Fed, what might you have done differently during this time or similarly?
So I think, and so that even that's been something I've been like toying around with, like with my own like forecasting models and trying to figure out. I think that, even saying 59% of people spent their last April's checks on like rent and utilities, that remaining percent is pretty large, and what people choose to do with that has a lot of implications, especially if you. I think there's a lot of it that's not factored in. I'm trying not to make this sound super like convoluted, but you can kind of follow the assumption that like if you don't really need to spend your $1,400 check, or if you're spending it on other things, there's probably a lot of money you're saving in other areas, right? So like for me, when I stopped going out, I think I tweeted like a joke about it like last year, where I was like my like needless spending is down 1,000% because I haven't done anything. Like I haven't been anywhere. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to shop. There's no clothes. And so I think that has real implications, and that does offset the amount of people who are unemployed, especially now that we're back around 5%. So I think I probably would have been a little less loose on the whole interest rate thing. I think they said it's going to be near zero till 2023. I'm not sure I would have followed that, and I probably would have expected it to rise to closer to 3.
Right. You explained it really well in your article. But why is it, in a way, more worrisome to keep interest rates low than just have so much printed money in regards to inflation expectation?
Yeah, so with that, I was kind of going off of like the Austrian boom and bust cycle. That's like the theory behind it. But when we keep interest rates artificially low and we end up expanding our expanding production, through new projects that aren't just, monument building, road building, not just these infrastructure projects, but we make like borrowing really cheap, we run the risk of having like when the rates adjust back up to normal, like once we go from near zero to 1.5%, we're going to find that a lot of these were unsustainable. So if you run the risk of a lot of malinvestment. And then when that happens, the only correction is to unemploy people, right? So then you're back in a recession where people are getting laid off because these projects weren't sustainable to begin with, and you're right back where you started pretty much. And that's where it's hard to say right now because we do want to spur investment up to the point where we can get employment back to normal. But how much is too much and how far is too far? And at the rate at which we're growing, like real GDP at 6.5%, that's crazy. Like that's much higher than what they forecasted even in December. So I think it's just, you just have to walk like a fine line there.
I was doing some research, both in just the actions and what they can end up doing and similar astrology, and it seems to mirror a lot of what was happening in the 70s. Am I misguided in seeing some of that, or does this replay some of that as well?
Yeah, so I think we might be closer to like 2008, sort of like the housing, all the bubbles of 2008. I think the 70s, sorry, the 70s, I think might be a little bit more extreme than what we're going to experience now for like it's just like a different scenario, I guess. And I think it really depends on what we see come out of like these stimulus checks, like when the BLS publishes their statistics for how much went to rent and whatever, and for how much was actually spent on consumer goods that are non-essential.
Yeah, agreed, agreed. I think that that'll be the really major, I don't want to say entertainment, but like kind of waiting for it to, once the economy reopens and things like that, be like, where is the actual monetary supply being allocated? Because has there ever been a comparable stimulus to the level of dollars that have been in like injected into the money supply right now? Just because it seemed like that's like a huge amount. Like that's so fucking much. I don't know. I wasn't sure if there was another time that's comparable and then the outcome like this.
Yeah, so right now I am it's being financed by deficit spending. And there's, to keep the interest rate low, the Fed can buy bonds back. So as of right now, they're not just necessarily printing, but that's also worrisome because the deficit is humongous. Like when you look at the deficit in the United States, it's like number go up like a lot. And we can't have that much debt forever. So something has to change, whether or not, are we going to see like tax increases, or typically deficit spending isn't spent through raising revenues, right? Like taxes. It's through the sale of bonds. So I definitely think that's another thing to keep in mind, that, in the next few years, we'll probably see tax hikes too, just because we're so in debt.
Does it? I'm looking at on some of the correlations with the astrological perspective. It looks really, really grim late 2022 into 2023. Does that seem plausible or too early if you're looking at when the inflation, when the consequences of this could come about?
I definitely think it's plausible because, especially the rate at which we're distributing the vaccine, and I don't remember. I know there was a lot about the new strain of the va or the virus. I think a couple months ago, everybody was worried coming from Europe that it was more contagious. But I haven't heard anything about that recently. And I'm pretty sure the vaccine works for that strain too, if I'm not misguided on that. So I think especially once, and if Biden's correct, what do you say? Like most of us are going to be vaccinated by the 4th of July, or
I think that was it was the July 4th.
Very patriotic.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
if that does happen, we're definitely going to see a lot of changes very quickly. Especially, I mean, even like if you really look at transportation, like aviation, they're already expecting to, bring people who are furloughed back, and you're already starting to see prices go up a bit. So
Right.
it could definitely happen.
I've noticed that as well when I do my how much hypothetically would it cost to fly to somewhere that's not open to the US right now? I've
Right.
noticed that the flights have gone up. Someone is also asking why you are so fine. What's your forecast? Yeah, do you have an answer on that?
No answer for that.
Okay. Possibly more. We need a bit more data, and then we'll get back to you on that one. What could some other consequences be of these of the huge amount of money supply and the interest rates, though? What might be some other things that people don't think of besides inflation that could come about from this, if any?
So, like the whole economic situation is so complicated right now because you have so many pieces that are trying to equilibrate at once. And then you, on top of like the pandemic, you have like the pandemic as an exogenous shock, and then like the exogenous shock within the pandemic. And so when you look at like, people in San Francisco realizing that they hate it there, and my parents are from the Bay Area, so I can also say that I hate San Francisco because I've spent a lot of time there. But when you see, movement from San Francisco to Austin, for example, and we saw this huge surge in housing prices. I thought about buying a house in Austin earlier in the year, and I was too late because now they're already, I would say, way overvalued. We're
Yeah.
starting to create these little bubbles, right? Out, like now, we're probably gonna have another tech bubble in Texas. You have this migration to Miami, right? So you're seeing housing prices soar because you have this great demand for them in certain areas. Oh no, you just went away.
I'm back. My camera has a 30 minute. I need a new camera. I should be back on. Yeah, okay, I'm back now. Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that could pose interesting conundrums that we have to deal with later, as places like Austin deal with, going from being like these kind of small niche cities to having huge tech booms. I think there are a lot more people invested in, markets like the stock market or cryptocurrencies. And I think, it's great. Like I love to see like younger people getting involved in these sort of things. But I think especially now at, what Friday was so red. Like I didn't even look at my stock portfolio. I was like, yeah, I'm just, I don't care. But when you have people out here kind of gambling with it, that could pose real threats. And then I think there's gonna be like especially from like an economics perspective, a lot of focus has been on education, right? And so now if we look at, probably going on 2 years of this in total by the time it's over, you're gonna have like a whole generation of kids who weren't properly socialized. And that'll definitely have huge consequences. A lot of PhD programs didn't accept admissions in the fall. So
I dropped
there's
out of mine. I didn't like it online. I was like, I can't do this. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say online has been interesting.
Yeah.
So there's definitely gonna be a lot of real consequences.
How do you think that this upcoming market will impact crypto? If you have thoughts on that.
I think people are really starting to see it as a store of value, and
Yeah.
they are starting to see it as a secure method of transacting. And so I think if anything, it'll grow stronger through all of this as people turn to it. And I think, when we see things like, oh, India banning Bitcoin or whatever, we'll experience these fluctuations. But I think it'll come out of this much stronger as people trust it more.
Yeah. What are you bullish on in the crypto space?
So I still have a job in the financial industry right now, so I'm not supposed to be too loud about it, but we should revisit this in like 3 weeks.
Sure. I can say that I like Bitcoin. I think that
I think I can say that too.
just
Yes.
I think that
Well,
it might shock people, but like that, I
indeed.
think that might shock. That's going to be a shocking. I know that's going to break the internet, and my followers won't expect that. But I agree that I think with all the like, even like what happened to Robinhood, I think was so good for the crypto space because the lack of trustworthiness, that sadly, like when you look into it, it wasn't even Robinhood's fault. Like it really wasn't their entire fault that they had to shut down trading around like everything that was going on. But I get that it pisses the users off. But that was so good. And like you saw Uniswap, Google searches skyrocket that day for like DEXs overall. So yeah, I agree that I think that seeing it as such a valuable store of value that was redundant is not only inevitable, but like happening. And do you think that there's other consequences of investment habits that will come as a result of this? Like things that you're seeing in terms of trends for allocation with this influx of younger traders and the post-pandemic world where you expect markets to do well more long term, even after this?
Yeah, so I think people are definitely getting, well, some people are definitely getting smarter in terms of investment and starting to wake up to, the control that Wall Street has, down with the suits and all of that, and how they can, make real changes for themselves, and how, not all of it has to be so scary. Because I know a lot of people are really afraid to get involved in investing because, you're playing with your money and you don't know what's going to happen. So I think we'll probably see a surge in people taking on these other careers, especially careers in crypto, careers in finance, where, like, especially in crypto, where you don't necessarily have to have some crazy degree. I think as a society, we're moving back towards that, where we're starting to realize that, like, a lot of times these degrees aren't really necessary. I say this as I'm getting a PhD, I know, but I think that'll probably be a positive change that we see.
Yeah.
Biden actually does eliminate some of these student loans. I would like that personally. And I think that's a, that's a good way to spur to boost aggregate demand. Because
Exactly.
it's, if you have people paying $500 a month on their student loans, it's like, oh, well, now they have, an extra $500 to spend or save or invest. And it'll help spur real growth.
Right.
We'll see if he does
Being
it.
right. That's what I, oh my God, my, okay, I'm still talking, but my camera, I'm gonna have to delete these videos and then come on. Okay, there we go.
No.
Okay. Back on. This will be a really official, really great thing when I finally decide what new camera I am to get. Would you be in favor of a total debt jubilee, or do you think that just the student loans or other similar things, like there's a sweet spot?
I definitely think there's a sweet spot, even in terms of student loans. I think I can't remember. Was he saying $50,000 or was it ten
I
thousand
think
dollars?
it was 50. I remember hearing 50. Yeah.
I think there is an optimal amount to target. I haven't done any calculations of my own. I mean, I can say 50 sounds right. I don't know. I mean, it sounds good to me, but I think we definitely don't want to go a little too hard that way either. And this, gosh, am I gonna be canceled? Well, I don't think I'm gonna be canceled on like crypto Twitter, but maybe like on Rose Twitter. I am not really for like free college education. I think we do need to have scarcity and making things valuable. And I don't think everybody should be going and getting college degrees. So.
I agree. I think that as someone who really does well in the traditional education system, but understands that a lot of people don't, I think that like the idea of money, like scarcity has been removed from money so much that we like there needs to be a reevaluation of like just money supply in general, where perhaps if we made a more supportive, more stable monetary supply, then the idea of needing so many debt jubilees or like free whatever this like wouldn't like that it's like a symptom of an underlying issue of debasement and devaluation ongoing. Do you think that fiat currency in and of itself is problematic or only in certain cases?
I think it's complicated because of like the structure of central banks. And so you can say like in theory all of these things work out great, but in reality do they actually work out great? And I mean we've seen the Fed mess up a lot and we've seen a lot of
Right.
financial crises in the United States. So in that sense I would say that it does pose a lot of problems. But then when you think about it, it's also like the only thing we've really tried since like the barter economy and the gold standard. I do think we'll start to see more problems resurface as we go forward the next decade, for sure.
Was it a mistake to go off the gold standard, do you think?
No, I don't. I have mixed feelings about that too. I'm
I
50.
ask a lot of people that because I don't have a clear opinion myself, and I'm curious as to why.
Yeah, I don't know if
So,
I'm
yeah.
that clear on that either. I would say
Right.
no, but because we haven't seen, we in the United States, we have a comparatively, our government isn't as corrupt, and we don't face a lot of those issues with needing something, real in the reserves to back the dollar, because for the most part, our bonds are valuable. We do attract foreign investment, and the dollar is, like the global standard.
Yeah.
So.
Are we, by doing what we're doing now, it seems to me like we're really fucking China over with the amount of like dollars and everything that they're owed. Will this, or how might this impact the world economy with us being the reserve currency and just kind of, money printer going crazy?
Yeah, so I think a lot of places are underwater right now. Especially if we look at like development, so I've worked in development economics for like 3 years now. And we're seeing a lot of businesses struggling, a lot of individuals struggling, a lot of countries just struggling. So relative to the rest of the world, like we are doing pretty well. So I'm not sure that that necessarily what's going on now with stimulus will impact other places too negatively. If anything, once borders open up again, if people start actually traveling, you could say it's a good thing, right? Because we're going to be helping out places. I know like Costa Rica, for example, is relies heavily on tourism, and with everything shutting down, their economy completely tanked, and they had a couple of stimulus packages. Brazil had a couple of stimulus packages. Argentina had some. But I, like the concept of these like stimulus packages isn't just reserved for the United States. Other places are implementing them too. So I think in that sense, what's happening now won't necessarily screw over other countries too much.
Yeah. Why isn't what we're doing now going to lead to the worst case fear of Venezuela situations for us?
Yeah, so in Venezuela, I mean, the entire political system in Venezuela was falling. Some argue that there was a revolution in place. We had, Guaido versus Maduro, and Maduro really printing money to pay off debts to other countries. To, I mean,
Right.
there wasn't anything to even purchase in Venezuela, right? They had a food shortage. It was a complete crisis. I think, back in 2018, the average citizen had lost 20 pounds because the people were starving. You had mass immigration out of Venezuela, and just the complete collapse of the government and institutions. And it wasn't just the financial system. It was, hospitals didn't have running water. And I think in the United States, what we're experiencing now is is very likely going to lead to a temporary increase. We have to remember, we're not going to be, well, theoretically, we're not going to be printing, we're not going to be giving out stimulus checks every year. This is really just sort of like a band-aid for, well, it's sort of like a band-aid for a bullet wound. But as long as I think the Fed does tighten policy, we'll be okay. But whether or not they will, we will have to see.
Agreed. 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 I think the band-aid for a bullet is a really, really good metaphor. I've been thinking of like it being a ticking time bomb and you're just like, let me add a little bit more time. Like let's just dial it back a bit. And I think that would you say that markets in some ways they need to be able to fail? Like that's important for the health of the market to have certain aspects of it fail along term with the cycle. I've heard differing things where some economists have said that, we can hypothetically keep doing this and that it would just become the new normal versus others who really strongly do believe in kind of the bear, which I tend to side to, which it makes more sense for the health of it for there to be these big crashes at times.
Yeah, I'm definitely more on the like let the market correct itself side of things.
Right.
And so I think, you have to let it's hard because a lot of like growth is endogenous, right? So when we talk about letting the economy re-equilibrate, if we have, an outside force trying to like force it to happen, like by keeping the interest rate artificially low, then you're kind of, you're distorting the price mechanism and the market mechanism. So sometimes I think we do have to see these slight, you know, dips, slight market failures in order for it to correct itself and to find its new equilibrium and to move forward with, you know, actual sound money, a sound economy.
So hypothetically, and this doesn't have to be a comment on your interest in crypto, but how might a Bitcoin standard either complicate or solve or just change some of the dynamics that we have going, if you're familiar with like how that might be? And I can explain further if I'm thinking about like if we were to transfer into like the scarcity of that asset moving forward, how might that change the trajectory and ways that our economy functions?
Yeah, so I mean that has a lot of implications. Like for the economy in general. I think one of the biggest ones that I had thought about, like in the beginning of all of this, even because back when I was doing like a lot of stuff for Venezuela, I had looked into cryptos because they were working with Russia to move money around for gold and weapons and stuff. But I think it's important to remember too, because this was an issue that we had at the beginning of the pandemic, where a lot of rural Americans and a lot of the world still doesn't really have access to internet. And like while a majority of the population does, and a majority of the population, you know, has a computer and multiple TVs and whatever, there is a good subset of people who aren't very technologically advanced. So I think it's important in terms of accessibility to kind of keep those things in mind. And we are in the age of technology, so I really think it's just a matter of catch up. But like, I think, and I guess this is probably where I differ from most people who think it's maybe like within the next like 5 to 10 years. I see it more as like a 10 to 15, maybe even 20 year transition.
Yeah, I think that's important that you brought that up actually, because it wasn't something that I can say that honestly escapes my mind a lot, is just that it could be a solution, but also is the technology available to ground that solution? That's really true.
Yeah, and so I even had a colleague in the PhD program who went home when the pandemic happened, and she was like, I'm at a McDonald's parking lot, like trying to use their Wi-Fi because I live in the middle of nowhere and there's like, you know, internet is terrible and, you know, the bandwidth just isn't big enough to accommodate everybody, you know, working from home or just being online more. So I think, because a lot of what I studied in development was on total factor productivity and whether or not like returns to capital were decreasing, which we have seen, there's this correlation where like in developing countries, returns to capital are decreasing. And whether or not that was a result of like mechanical inputs and machinery and sort of like the training of individuals and employees, or whether or not that was like the misallocation of capital going towards technologies. And in preliminary research that I had found working with a colleague, it was that there is some misallocation in terms of technology, because you have to remember the importance of like teaching people how to use these tools and allowing them that adjustment period, right? So like a lot of us, you know, especially being born into the age of technology, like can't imagine a world without it. And so it's definitely important to remember that there's a good chunk of the population who still isn't very familiar with it or doesn't have great access to it.
Yeah, that's important to remember. I can definitely say that having so many discussions about how great these solutions could be, and then it sometimes, you know, escapes my mind. I'm just thinking like personally, like, wow, I have forgotten like base hierarchy of needs of, well, what if we can't even implement that? So yeah, that's really true. Would you overall consider yourself more subscribing to the Austrian school of economics rather than Keynesian when you think about solutions to these things?
I would say that I'm like more Chicago school.
I
am definitely. So there are parts of the Austrian theory like that I appreciate, like the like Hayek's whole boom bust, and the Garrison model of malinvestment. There's a lot of it that I also don't really agree with. And which is like I go to George Mason, so like everybody's Austrian. So anybody who's watching this, I'm sorry, you already knew that. Definitely not a fan of the Keynesian school. I tend to do a lot more. I tried to get more into micro, and then I ended up getting like sucked back into macro. But I think the idea of free markets and allowing for them to correct themselves is an important idea to preserve. And again, like, spoke about this, I think, in my article a bit, where I was talking about how, you know, when you think about a lot of this, it came like the pandemic came from primarily a supply shock. And it's important that in the long run, we remember that and we don't treat it as a demand shock forever.
That's a good way of putting it, that, yeah, it was not, we treat it as a demand shock that will lead to such more trouble in the long run with the way that the market will have to correct itself, the more that we try to like stimulate that. Mm-hmm. What got, like, just for with you personally, what got you interested in econ, and why is it something that you love studying?
Yeah, so I have a funny story about that. I chose my undergrad major at random because I was supposed to go to UC Irvine, and I ended up like last minute dating some stupid boy and was like, I'm gonna stay for him. And he moved to Jordan, and I ended up being like, well, crap, I already told UC Irvine no. I haven't applied anywhere, and I ended up going to Mason like in June before the fall, or before like fall of 2015, and just choosing a random major. And then I ended up really, really liking it and finishing my degree early and then going straight to the PhD. So everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, that's so funny that we're both like vegans who like don't drink, and I similarly finished my degree a year early, and yeah, was doing philosophy, and then now, because I know I want to apply to finance masters, maybe PhD programs, I did a semester of philosophy PhD, and it was like cute, but I was like, yeah, I'm just studying finance in my free time, like getting full. Did you do econ undergrad and then
so I econ both.
Right. No, that's a nice, like, I didn't understand the fascination with econ until basically 2020 was like, well, this is a major thing. And then all of a sudden it's very interesting.
And I, you know, because economics is so complicated, I've always told people there's like no simple way to boil it down into something digestible, like in the way that professors try to do it, just boiling it down into making it like an analogy, or not really, you know, trying to make it relatable. And so I think people get really bored of it. And I will say, like, my undergrad econ experience was so vastly different from PhD. The first month I was shook. It was such a crazy adjustment. But I love economics. I think it definitely needs, it's something that we need to focus more on, because it's such a crucial part of all of our lives. But it's also like the one thing in school that they don't really talk about.
Yeah, very true. I myself, it's kind of funny because I always said that I liked astrology because it's, and philosophy is like the study of the structure of reality. Like, it was just interesting to me as a mechanism to understand how larger cycles work. And that's exactly what the market is on another level. It's like, how do exchanges of value work and we build society? And I definitely want to have more discussions about the philosophy of money, because it's like the most crucial way of exchanging value. And it seems like it's, there's the stigma around money and finance clouds just the pure exchange of energy that it is, where I think that more discussions about the different methods and analyses can be so fulfilling for people to have a different relationship and mindset that. Yeah, see if there's any interesting usually the questions in the chat they're talking about economics as fake as space. I don't know what that means. Vegan vampire.
There's this whole like, sorry, like somebody I think was like opposing Malthus and called economics the dismal science. So like there's this whole joke that like economics is the dismal science. And that, you know, because we can't always stray away from like using subjective tools and subjective value, that like it's not like a real science, it's not a real social science, it's like fake. So yeah, people call like economics, like fake, like people who like just are trying to make predictions, trying to predict reality, stuff like that. And that's mostly a macro concern. That's why I really liked micro, because I take PhD level class at the engineering school too. So I definitely have been kind of excommunicated from the GMU Austrian bunch, because they're all like, you're just an engineer.
Yeah. I don't know if you would know this, but I've been looking at this with people, just people in the space. Do you know if in your astrology, if you've ever had it looked at, that it does indicate a focus on finance? I know for me personally, it did my whole life, and I refused to acknowledge that until it found me, and then it was kind of there. So I'm curious if you have any, if you've ever like looked, or if anyone's ever told you that you have like emphasis on money or finance or the economy in your chart.
No, I have no idea. I have a psychic, but he only does tarot readings. And
Yeah.
I know I had a friend who was super into it, and I showed her my chart, and she just said, "Oof," because I have no water apparently.
I don't either. I don't either. It's nice. Other people feel things and we can just Yeah, exactly. But you have a Leo sun, you said, right?
Yeah, my sun and rising are Leo.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Then you're definitely going through one of the most both positive and challenging years of your life,
Yeah,
definitely.
tell me about it. It's my life has been insane. It's been, yeah. When am I gonna get a break?
Anyone Yeah, honestly, it might be until 2023 that this is the most intense year. But have your with that happening in your seventh house then, have your relationships been a focus of that in general? All kinds of one-to-one relation.
It's been insane. I think I tweeted this better about this the other day, but I used to not really have a relationship with my parents, and then in 2019 I started to fix that with them, and then halfway through last year, I don't know what happened, but my parents are literally my best friends now, and I can't imagine. I mean, I went through a period a couple months ago where I cut off everyone. I really my block list is unmatched. Because I was just I'm done with dealing with people's shit. I don't care. So it's definitely transformed so much.
Yeah, when is your birthday?
July 26th.
Okay, so this makes sense because Saturn would have opposed your sun very early on in its transit, which would have been about spring, so like April of last year, and then again December. Yeah, and then again in December, it would have been in a difficult aspect, kind of being like Saturn represents limits. So having that connected to your sun, that would have been like definitively drawing lines and boundaries. Thankfully,
What happened?
yeah, that actually knowing that your sun is so early in Leo confirms that the most challenging part of this has already actually ended and that it'll be kind of a clear out until 2023.
Yeah, I tried to look into this stuff, but I didn't understand what it meant, so I'm
Yeah. You can ask me anytime so I can explain, but that's knowing that your birthday is early in the season is actually good to hear because it means that you already did the heavy lifting and now you get to
I
chill
really
out for
did.
a
My
little.
voice really did reach a new.
Do you have a since we're both vegan, do you have a favorite vegan meal?
Oh my gosh. I grew up in Southern California, and my parents live in Northern California now, but I grew up on taquitos and going to Rubio's and just eating the best Tex-Mex ever. So I'm obsessed with taquitos, and I make them with black sweet potatoes. And it's so boring, probably. I also made calamari the other day out of mushrooms. That was fun. But what about you?
Yeah, I'm from Texas, so I understand the Tex-Mex. I
Yeah,
don't
so.
mi
Oh, you don't make
yeah. I
it.
I'm really into Asian food. So my favorite food of all time is the Japanese sweet potato, the purple skin, white inside. I really like sweet potatoes. My favorite dish that I make is my peanut butter plantain pad thai. I literally have a fucking recipe for this on my blog. It's so good. It's like rice noodles, tofu, peanut butter or almond butter, whatever sauce, and then you add plantains and pineapple also. It's so good. It's so good. It's just I'm an Asian fan, so
Asian.
it's
People don't get I feel like everybody thinks I'm something else, like Middle Eastern or Indian, but I'm Asian, so I appreciate the love for Asian food.
Thai and Vietnamese and Indian are my three favorite. I make curries a lot and things like that.
Was looking at
Any, yeah.
you inspiring me to cook more because I need to get back on my health bullshit. Because
I love.
my diet's been so bad. I literally for months I was just eating like the microwavable mac and cheese, like the vegan stuff from what is it, Amy's. I continued it or something, and I was like, that's God literally being like, stop.
Right. When you come to New York, I can or I can go to DC and I
Well,
can make you
I'm depressed. I'm obsessed with pastry.
Yeah, it's
She should come down to DC. There's not much vegan wise, but trying to think, what do we have now that's like special? Nothing really.
Yeah,
Have
New York has it covered.
Yeah, I was in New York a couple of years ago. I had an internship up there at one point, but they have that like company that I think it's called Ahimi, and it's like the vegan tuna that's made out of tomatoes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Good.
I have not had it, but I follow them because whenever I see an up-and-coming vegan company, I'm like, I want to follow this. So,
It's amazing. Yeah, I would definitely. They had it at the Whole Foods that's across from Bryant Park.
got it, got it. I am looking at a place that's like beautiful right on Bryant Park, and I'm hoping it doesn't. So I'm like in the like
Yeah.
process of being like, no one else outbid me right now. It's like I love that area, so I'm
There
confirms hearing about this.
especially around here.
Any final thoughts or feelings that you have around the economy, or parting words that you would tell people that you think they should hear that they might not, or not?
I think, sorry, my dog just barked. Hopefully, he doesn't mind. I think, invest wisely. And I think a lot of times I see, especially on crypto Twitter, people are saying, if you're not all in, then you're fake or whatever. But I think it's really important for people who are new to investing into finance to not necessarily go all in and only do what you're comfortable with, especially now in terms, I don't know how many people watching are like involved in the stock market, but if you're getting involved in stocks right now, be careful because it is a very volatile segment of the market. I would say, come summer, we're definitely going to see a lot of changes in terms of like, being listed, seeing an increase in travel domestically. I'd say, I don't think it's like a cause for like complete panic right now. We're definitely gonna, I think we're gonna see, over 4% or whatever he said. And then I think pay attention to, the Fed buying bonds through open market operations, stuff like that. And just watch as that slows down and not freak out too much when, because, high treasury yields are correlated with, tech stock index falls. So, no need to panic, it's like everything's, like the market will bump back up, and definitely crypto isn't going anywhere anytime soon. So I would look into those. And this is not finance, so this is just me, rambling, but for legal
So
purposes.
similar, not financial advice, but I agree with you, not to panic, to not be worried when, yeah, I mean, I think it's $120 of bonds being bought every month, which is like, oh my God. Like, yeah. But agreed that someone in the chat says they're going to go all in on $1,000 Tesla calls. You do you. I'm not going to do that, but I wouldn't say over leverage, but there's a trade in the background right now, and you got to take advantage of the bull market. If there's a time to enter and expose yourself to volatility, examine it, study it, and decide for yourself how you want to use the money printer's music to your advantage
And definitely,
nowadays.
people talk about, different crypto projects and, stocks all the time. And like, do your own research and figure out what you like and what you want to see and what your, for me, like when I invest in the stock market, for example, I'm just holding, especially when it comes to like tech stocks. So when I look at my portfolio and it's all red, I'm like, I don't really care. It's gonna go up again.
Yeah,
So just
similarly, m
mind.
most of the now minuscule, but at one point, pretty standard part of my portfolio that is tech stocks. As a young person, I look forward to it going down. I'm like, it's on sale. Like, great. Like, only up from here.
The other day I think Tesla hit like 650 and I was like, bye. So don't sell, not financial advice, but I wouldn't if I were you all. So
You want to, and for most people, you probably want to wait at least a year so you avoid the more shorter term taxes anyway. But I think that just from the incredibly enlightening discussion that a lot of people are probably guaranteed abundance now. Like this is just pure alpha. I think we have just solved so many issues that I hope the Fed was listening. I think that this is the direct game plan is just obvious from everything that we've said. Might be a little cryptic, but I think that we've completely solved the world's economic
Yeah,
system.
right. It's
So
all fixed. So vote for me for
yeah,
president.
all fixed. All fixed. Yeah. Appoint me, and I'll be on the cabinet somewhere. I'll be, yeah,
New astrological, like we'll make a new position for you.
really should, really should. So thank you for coming on, and we'll definitely resume if there's any other strange or if there's any market shit going down, we can convene and recap. So
Be
thanks for
interesting.
joining. Yeah.